lobbyist with posh offices inside the sacred capital. This is Senator Dabacus, and I am going to lease out my office on KSL.com. Dabacus on the left.
Flying to London, this is Chris Blake filling in for Greg Hughes on the right. I hope Jim will join me.
Ashley Madison website, Planned Parenthood rallies on Capitol Hill. I'm Natalie Gochner. This is Both Sides of the Aisle. But first, this news. I'm Natalie Gochner. This is Both Sides of the Aisle. I represent the political center, and joining me on the political left is State Senator Jim Dabacus.
Good morning, Natalie.
Great to have you here, Jim. And Chris Blake, representing the right, a Capitol Hill veteran. Welcome, Chris.
Great to be here. Thanks, Natalie.
I just want to start out the program by just doing some real general thinking, kind of checking the temperature of the electorate everywhere right now, where we have presidential elections nationally, we have mayoral elections very soon locally. What is there to be said right now, Jim, about the political temperature out there?
The Democrats are meeting now in Minnesota. They're having their big national meetings, but I don't go to anymore. But I've been in the gossip part of it.
Okay.
And the gossip there is that they're getting Elizabeth Warren in, and she's going to join a ticket with Biden. And the question is who's on the top of the ticket and who's number two? And there's facts to kind of go along with this. The two of them have had several meetings at the vice president's mansion. Behind the scenes, Biden, people have been calling people, nobody called me, but around the country saying, will you be there? Will you join support? I mean, I think Hillary's being 12 points behind in New Hampshire is red meat to a lot of people that want to get in. And I think the broader issue here is the canary in the cave was the Biskupski-Becker race. I feel this kind of energy that I haven't felt like before an earthquake since the summer of 2010, when Congress people went home, they had their town hall meetings, and there were explosions all around the country. That was officially
it's like the birth of the Tea Party. Towards a political class, whoever the establishment is.
They're
Becker,
after him.
Becker's establishment.
Becker,
Jeb
Jerry
Bush
Herbert
would be establishment.
Is every one of those establishment
Hillary's
Republicans.
Establishment. Yeah.
Gary Herbert is in big, big trouble by this. No, I mean, I really believe that.
Chris, I don't believe that.
He's the kind of guy that is exactly a target that would get swept up by this kind of energy.
Yeah. Well, we as Republicans would love a Biden-Warren or Warren-Biden ticket. Either way they want to go on that is just fine by us. No, I think Jim raises a great point. There is clearly an angst that has not gone away.
Mm-hmm.
And we see this time and time again as election cycles come up. I think we're seeing it more frequently. Is that the rise of social media or just the world we live in? Or is there just more angst towards the political class and things that are happening? People are not happy with D.C. I think it comes in part that the economy is unsettled, certainly with the stock market drop, which may or may not portend something larger, gets people ruffled and concerned. We saw this back in the 2008 election. So, yeah, I do think politicians always need to be on guard. They need to be presenting good solutions. They need to be doing the right thing. I think that's what speaks so highly of Governor Herbert and our legislature, is that they are focused on those solutions. But no question about it, people are anxious.
So I had the opportunity this week to attend the Jeb Bush visit to Salt Lake City and, talk about the political establishment. You know, he's had a father and a brother that have been president. But I got to tell you, I really liked his message. It was hopeful. It was problem-solving oriented. It was productive middle. I didn't see it, Jim, as somebody who, you know, it was political establishment. I saw it as somebody who knows how to get something done.
Guy who's raised $100 million by using daddy and his brother's list comes rolling into town. Have you seen the polls? He's down 4, 5, 6, 7%. Jeb Bush is not going to be a player. And I know the political establishment in Utah just loves him because he's moderate. He's not really going to do anything. He's just going to play the game and go there. But take a look at Donald Trump's numbers within the state. Admittedly, Bush was ahead in the last one. I'm predicting the next one it's going to flip-flop. I'm not sure the political establishment, either in Utah or in the country, that are still laughing about Donald Trump understand the pulse of the people of the country.
Yeah.
And I think we're in for a very, very bumpy ride.
Can't wait to hear your response, Chris.
Well, what I find interesting about the recent polling on Donald Trump and his unfavorables, even in the state of Utah, is Hillary Clinton has the same unfavorables. And so to the extent that the left sort of laughs at Donald Trump, the right, which is a far more significant presence in Utah, is doing the same thing to Hillary on the left. Ultimately, you know, Jeb Bush promised that he was going to run a race and not focus on the short term, focus on the longer term. It'll be interesting to see. Everyone sort of has openly said, can you actually succeed in the primary caucus battles by mm-hmm. doing that? So it'll be interesting to see. But Jeb Bush was a fantastic governor. And, you know, I worry about one thing. We saw with Mitt Romney, the person that a lot of us knew, we didn't see that translate mm-hmm. on the stump. Mm-hmm. A lot of us have met Jeb Bush. I don't know him personally by any stretch, but I've seen him speak. He's very engaging, articulate. Will that translate on the stump? We'll see.
Yeah, it could be interesting. Well, he certainly was asked yesterday about the Trump factor. And he responded by saying, we are a conservative party. We will have a conservative representing our party. Donald Trump is not a conservative. And as his record becomes clear, Republicans will not stand for it. I don't know if you follow, if you believe that, Chris.
I absolutely do. I mean, at 18 months out or whatever we are, I'm not going to worry about what the polls say. To some extent, maybe the Donald Trump, the Bernie Sanders, perhaps this is good. Perhaps it does portend a bumpier ride, as Jim talks about. But at this point, I'm not going to freak out about who's up in the polls 18 months out. It's about staying power. It's about message. It's about ideas. And I hope to see somebody. Nobody's really exciting me yet. Certainly not Donald Trump, but no one else. And so I want to see those ideas start to come out.
Love it. Let's change topics and go to something just sort of fun that happened in our community this week. We got news from Delta Airlines that they would be starting a nonstop flight Salt Lake City to London Heathrow in May 2016. This is something Salt Lake City has wanted for decades. Chris, we have it.
Yeah, this is great news. Right now, we have a nonstop from Salt Lake City to Paris and to Amsterdam. We used to have one to Tokyo, but now we're going to add one to London. So to me, it says that Delta's doing really well on these flights, and they're seeing Salt Lake as a hub to get over to Europe, and hopefully we can see that expand. So it's great news. You wrote an article this week about Utah being the Wall Street of the West. We'd look at London as a banking capital. I think this is nothing but upside for our economy and for those that want to get over to Europe.
I'll bet you'll be on that flight, Jim.
Given, I just want to comment on, given the recent performance of Wall Street, I am not sure we want to be the Wall Street West and what's going on. Look, it's terrific. Where would we be without Delta? It clearly is a tremendous help in so many ways in our economy. We've got to keep our eye on them, though, because they are a monopoly, and you know, bad things can happen when 75 or 80% of your flights are one airline, and they get a new CEO or something happens. I mean, we do need to maintain a viable option with other airlines and make sure that that we're healthy.
You definitely want that competition. You know, I follow quite closely the rebuild of the Salt Lake City International Airport. So the terminal's being rebuilt. That's a $1.8 billion investment in our state. Right now, the airport's spending about $13 million a month in construction costs. And next year, that will bump up to about $30 million a month. And this is all money that the FAA's given us, that airlines are paying for, or that we have through savings. So this is a huge economic benefit to our state.
One of the things Utah does well is they focus on long-term infrastructure projects. And it's the mark of, I think, a good government that does that. Whether
Except
it's,
in education.
Whether it's roads, whether it's power, whether it's water, airport. I mean, these things are the lifeblood to making sure that we stay healthy and moving forward.
All right, so that's a fun topic. Let's talk about something just a little bit not so fun. Jim, tell us about the American Legion agreeing to leave their space in the state Capitol building.
You know, this has gotten down to the issue of, does this group of big, strong, rich lobbyists have the right to throw out the American Legion because they want to expand their place? That's the wrong battle. The question is, should this elitist, rich group of lobbyists have a place in the Capitol? This is the house of the people. This is where the laws are made. And to have this group of lobbyists with that direct access to the outside of the building, you know, I know a lot of lobbyists, and they're ma and pa's, and they're there with wheelbarrows full of papers, and they don't get that kind of support. It's almost like they're a special legislative committee, those big, powerful, greatly contributing lobbyists. They should not be in the state capitol.
You're listening to Both Sides of the Aisle. In the next segment, I will let Chris rebut that.
This is Jim DeBacchus, quiet and mild, on the left.
This is Chris Blake on the right, filling in for Speaker Hughes, crazy and wild.
Natalie Gochner in the Political Center. You're listening to Both Sides of the Aisle. Okay, we ended the last segment by talking about this space in the state capitol. It's a place where lobbyists have leased from, I'll just call it the Capitol Preservation Board, whoever it is that manages the facilities. They've leased space there. It's basically office space where lobbyists have access to computers and phones. And it, honestly, it's some of the nicest, the most well-decorated areas on Capitol Hill. It's in the basement, you know, and whatever it is. But Jim doesn't think it should be there at all, Chris. I'm guessing you want to defend it.
Well, I think that there's a couple of different ways to look at this. We rent space within the Capitol building to a number of different folks, including the press, who doesn't pay for any of their space, including other groups that want to come up and hold events at the Capitol. A number of years ago, lobbyists approached the Capitol Preservation Board about taking a space that was unused and paying a market rate for that space. No money from the Capitol goes into subsidizing that, et cetera. The lobbyists that use that space. The American Legion hasn't been kicked out, contrary to news reports. It's a space where lobbyists can go, print out documents, do that kind of work. I understand Jim's concern about it, but we don't have special access to the Capitol. We don't have parking. We rent space just like anyone else that wanted to rent space at the Capitol could do and does do for events and for weddings and for proms and dances. We rent space to those that want to use the space of the Capitol.
Yeah. How long is the lease, do you know, Chris?
I don't. I believe it's 5 years.
5 years.
5 years. The reason I ask, I mean, there's something, you know, it's the people's house, the people's business, and somehow it would feel better if, like, the League of Women Voters had a space, you know, the Eagle Forum had a space and whatnot, but instead it's sort of the rich lobbyists that
like
have,
Planned Parenthood,
that have a space. Well, so tell me
the
more
League
what
of
you
Cities
mean.
And I mean, the folks can join this space. We have the League of Cities and Towns, Utah Association of Counties, Planned Parenthood. There are certainly private lobbyists that have joined it. It's those groups that
pay dues.
It was expensive in order to rent that space. I mean, there is a cost to doing it, but those groups that wanted to do it were able to do it. And those other groups that you mentioned, the Eagle Forum, they rent space at the Capitol all the time for their groups.
Yeah.
And use rooms up there to hold their meetings, which I think is appropriate.
Who is excluded? I think that's the question.
Every single normal, non-corporate, not elitist lobbyist. It costs $4,200 to join, and then you got to pay an annual thing. It is a shame, because I'm going to tell you what happens. The normal people lobbyists, they are there running around with those wheelbarrows with papers, going up those steps, trying to make a point. They're sweating. And the Capitol guards are there saying, you know what? You cannot keep your computer plugged in there, and you got to move along. You cannot continue to sit here. And those big, cushy corporate guys are running off and sitting down there in this unbelievably plush little lounge, sipping their drinks and getting color printing made so they can watch what's going on and then go up and pump whoever needs to get pumped. And by the way, this little group contributes hundreds of thousands of dollars to those same legislators. One other quick point, I know we got to move along. It is not the going rate. The highest rates in Utah right now are $35 a square foot for what the LDS Church is charging for that new tower where the theater is and for Wells Fargo. This is $21 a square foot. If ever there was a prime piece of real estate, it is lobbyists paying to be in the Capitol. They're not paying even market rates. I think it's rigged, and it ought to be stopped immediately.
Chris, you can rebut or we can just move on. My guess is it was market rate when the lease was signed.
I'm sure it probably was.
But who knows? Okay, let's do another fun one. Ashley Madison website. Okay.
We may agree on this one, Chris.
You got, what is it, 20 Utah government emails? These are be emails that came from state government on the site. Yeah, there's a lot more than that, meaning not in state government, but a lot of things being talked about in the community. I mean, Chris, what have you heard here, and how do you react to this?
Well, I think that it's there's a part of me that just has, if you will, has more grace and concern than anything else. I mean, I certainly don't condone anyone that would use a website for the specific purpose of cheating on their spouse. I can't condone that. Don't think that's appropriate. I don't know what motivates people to go and do that. But I still find it tragic, and I just hate to see it. Yep.
Jim, were you on that list?
It would have done my career so much good if it would have been discovered that I was on the Ashley list. So, look, these state employees deserve a severe talking to, but frankly, not for the reason. How stupid are you? You can go up and come up with an email in 30 seconds and plug that in and no one is the wiser. How stupid are you to be using your state email to put in there? I mean, they just checked in like state LE dot whatever. Mm-hmm. These people have a problem, maybe several problems, but one of them is rank stupidity. The other thing
poor
is
judgment.
Look, I'm just not interested in what people are doing unless it involves the public. I think it's a little tacky, but, you know, life is full of tacky people and things, and are they doing their state job?
Yeah, one of the things I just, in the broader question, but I'm one of those people that's had my identity compromised through the Office of Personnel Management, the federal government scandal where millions of people got their identity taken, they think by the Chinese, if I understand this right, and I get this big letter, and then they sign me up for a security thing. When I was at EPA, I had a top security clearance because of I was doing the communications, and you would have to know things to be able to help with the communications if there was a major radiological event or something. And so when you fill out a top secret application, I mean, they know everything about you. And I don't know. It's just concerning
to me. Now the Chinese know?
Well, I mean, whoever got it.
And I remember I got approached when I worked at the Utah Republican Party by FBI agents doing a background check on Governor Leavitt. And they asked me some really specific questions about whether I had seen X, Y, and Z about Governor Leavitt. Now, of course, I hadn't. But if somebody had done one thing in their life and now that gets exposed, this end of privacy and I think there should be ramifications for people searching these types of things and then exposing this information. I mean, what has happened here is illegal, regardless of whether you agree with Ashley Maris or not, which I certainly don't. What has happened is illegal. They've hacked into private security networks, taken this data and exposed it for everyone to see. That has ramifications beyond just this small little site.
The thought that you ever had privacy, you just don't anymore. That's just my opinion. You're listening to Both Sides of the Aisle. I'm Natalie Gochner, joined by Jim DeBacchus and Chris Blake. Let's go from Ashley Madison to Planned Parenthood. Jim, I know you attended quite the rally at Capitol Hill. I only say that because I saw pictures of it, and some people thought you did. You said some really important things there. You must have been filled with the spirit.
And I was. Something dramatic and epoch-changing happened last Friday in the governor's office. And it's a shame and an embarrassment for our state. We have had an agreement all the way from Governor Matheson to Governor Bangeter to Governor Leavitt to Governor Walker to Governor Huntsman and up to now with Governor Herbert, which says on this most divisive of social issues, the state has found a compromise. It is not pro-abortion because no federal or state funding goes for abortions, but these men and Olean have recognized that Planned Parenthood has the ability to reach out and provide services that are essential for poor Utah women in health care, in help with contraception, in help with cancer screening. And those governors, up to this moment, have not thrown this out as a under the political tracks. Gary Herbert, and I can see the meeting right now, this pollster came, we got this self-funding guy who's running against you, and we better get out there. And from my perspective, after looking at some focus groups or some polls, Gary Herbert said, you know what? I would rather defund Planned Parenthood without a plan, by the way. There is no order. Nobody knows what's signed or what's legal. We already have a contract. He decided that the next day I've got a Republican convention and I need to appease those delegates and those people that are thinking about voting for this conservative opponent of mine who has been screaming about defunding Planned Parenthood and made that political decision that will throw thousands of poor Utah women, refugees, women that get subsidized health care that aren't going to get it, under the bus so he could get a big cheer in a convention. I think it's one of the lowest points in that governor's office since Governor Blood.
Chris, I want to hear your response. I do think, though, Jim has this point, and that is to take away the money without having a plan for how it's going to be used to still meet those needs.
Well, and I understand that, and I know the governor will be working hard to address that. My issue is a little bit different. One is, first, there are folks that have been pretty cavalier within the Planned Parenthood organization, and nobody on the left seems to want to pay any attention to that.
These are the problems.
Absolutely. You know, Jim often talks about the polls and what people believe, and, you know, we looked at the prison, and the public was overwhelmingly not supportive of the prison move. Well, the public here in Utah is not supportive of Planned Parenthood and their missions. Mm-hmm. Now, like that or don't, agree or don't disagree, I mean, we want to hang our hats on where the public is half the time, but not on the other half when we think that it's something important to us. And so I think the governor has made a decision that's important here. Let's take a pause. Let's figure out the right way to move forward. And let's figure out, is this organization the right one to be providing these types of services? Because clearly people have some real concerns about the direction of this organization. I have no issue with an organization that's providing important life planning and helping young women that are in vulnerable, difficult situations in their life. I think that's an appropriate service, and even appropriate service for government to provide. Is this the right conduit in order to provide it?
Yeah. Anything more you want to say there, Jim? You feel like you've had your
say? No, I think I had more than my shot.
You know, it doesn't go without saying, though, that, you know, what you see playing out nationally with Ted Cruz and this issue and sort of the establishment, and then what you see here with Jonathan Johnson and Herbert, it's interesting how national politics, local politics, they wrestle with a lot of the same issues.
No question.
We got news this week that the outdoor retailers will remain in Salt Lake City through 2018. That was Mayor Ben McAdams' announcement to make. Great news for the state. I got to tell you, I get really fatigued with being held hostage all the time to this one convention, but it still is good news.
Well, we deserve to be held hostage. It's the only reason we'll do the right thing. Otherwise,
the
gas, oil interests would have complete charge, and we would be drilling inside Greater Canyonlands instead of just on the periphery. Goodness bless them, because they have managed to create some sense of balance in our state land policy. So glad they're here. Let's get that convention built, and let's begin attracting so many conventions that if they do decide to leave, that we won't even miss them.
Yeah, I like your final point there, Jim. I will say, though, this is a group that gets a lot of publicity for things, and they hold us hostage when we've done so much to make that convention work in this town.
Yeah, they do. It feels a little bit like the boy who cried wolf as we hear this over and over. I'm ecstatic they're coming back. I think it's a great thing for the state of Utah. But I think this speaks to another issue that we have, and that is recently we've seen Representative Rob Bishop and Representative Jason Chaffetz, who have been talking about their land management plan, the bill that they're moving forward. I think this is great news. You know, despite Jim's insistence that I would drill on top of the delicate arch if there was oil there, there are lands that need to be protected. There are lands that need to be protected for preservation. There are lands that need to be protected for exploration. There are lands that need to be protected for our heritage and for camping. And I applaud Representative Bishop and Chaffetz for moving forward in the right way, working with local leaders, with the local people on coming up with a plan that, to their credit, includes a national monument.
Yeah,
they're looking at this holistically and moving forward and have the groups at the table. I think they deserve a lot of credit for it. And I don't think sometimes groups like the outdoor retailers or those folks that speak for them give enough credit to what's actually going on the ground level.
That when you have a national monument, maybe the people who live around that acreage should have some say in how it happens.
Absolutely, they should.
You know, and that's what Representative Chaffetz and Bishop are doing. Okay, we got to go to gripes. And we've talked about some good things, some hard things. Jim, what do you want to...
State Liquor Control Commission. Legislature said, it's a little complicated, but we have people that make alcohol in the state. And so if you want to have minis that people can give out as they make tours or as they go around or they take home, the state legislature, the law says, the Liquor Commission may decide that on a case-by-case basis. Guy in Ogden's got a distribution, makes brandy. The commission yesterday says in a 7-1 vote or 6-1 vote No, the legislature has to decide this. The legislature decided it. Let's do away with the ABC. It's about as effective as the industrial policy of the Soviet Union in the 1970s. It's over.
Chris?
My rant, I'm going to go back and just say I do not like that privacy is dead. And I know it's the world we live in, and there's a bunch of things that I love. You know, I can get my baseball games anytime, any place, anywhere, including up in the air. But I don't like this new world, and I hope people remember that to not jump to conclusions, easier said than done. But let's remember that we're all human beings, we all make mistakes, and that we need to have some grace and love for one another.
Well said. My gripe deals with ISIS. So I'm going way over the Middle East here, and I welcome you guys to comment on it. But, you know, I keep hearing the reports about the national treasures, the antiquities that are being ruined by these people. And it just, you know, I should be irritated that they're beheading people on camera and posting it. But it's sort of like I've seen that. But to go in there and ruin these buildings, these antiquities, the history of our world, it's really troubling me and makes me want to get a really strong national defense that could go in there and take care of this, Chris.
There we go.
You've been listening to Both Sides of the Aisle. I'm Natalie Gochner. I've been joined by Jim DeBacchus and Chris Blake. The program is produced by Ross Chambliss. Thanks for listening.